would die friendless. It was worse than being murdered in their beds.
Dennis Hawthorne was reading The Distant Past by William Trevor. The producer was Enid Williams, and you haven't long to wait for another short story from William Trevor, which this time centres on a bleak wedding reception where a young pregnant bride discovers why her marriage might just work. Teresa's Wedding is in 30 minutes. Ambridge Extra is next.
The Complete Smiley.
To crack the Iron Curtain, you need a man of steel.
Mr. George Smiley.
John le Carré's King of Espionage comes to BBC Radio 4 Extra.
I think he was waiting there to kill me.
Starring Simon Russell Beale.
He might yet kill you. That's part of his tidying up. He killed your husband, after all.
The Complete Smiley, beginning with Call for the Dead, Saturday afternoon at 4.
The digital station for comedy, drama and entertainment. BBC Radio 4 Extra.
Now it's time to catch up on what's been happening with the younger characters from The Archers. And this week, Alice has a guilty conscience, but Fallon thinks that romance is in the air. It's the omnibus edition of Ambridge Extra.
Well, look who's here.
Hi, Jazz.
Let me give you a hand with that lot.
Oh, I'll take them up in a bit.
That's the spirit. Indolence beats enterprise. Come and have a sit down. Cup of tea? Coffee? Oh, absinthe?
In a minute.
How's the drive down from sleepy little Ambridge?
Ugh, terrible.
Oh, bank holiday Sunday, I suppose. You all right, Alice?
Not really.
You don't look at your sunny best, I must say.
No.
Pressures of the final term crowding in on you.
If I'm honest, where's Paulie?
The house is a Paulie-free zone. I think he's coming back tomorrow.
Right. Have the police been in touch with you again?
No. Why? Has something happened? They haven't been in touch with you, have they?
No, not at all.
Then why are you...
It's probably stupid, but... the closer I came, the more worried I got.
Alice, they were hardly likely to have a roadblock up on the M3.
I don't know how you can joke about it.
Because it's fine.
I gave them a false alibi for you.
I know, and I'm really grateful. But because of that, it's all gone away.
Yeah, I hope so.
Trust me.
I kept thinking, suppose they investigated me.
And?
And found out I was married.
Yes.
When you said we were going out.
Well, you said it too.
Yeah, only to back you up, Chaz.
Well, look, even if they had, you wouldn't be the first married woman to be seeing someone else.
But I'm not.
I know. And your loyalty is admirable. But it's hardly unknown, is it? Especially when you live away from your partner most of the time.
If Chris ever found out, Chaz...
How on earth would he? I'm not going to tell him, are you?
No.
And as far as the police are concerned, it's not illegal. It's none of their business, is it?
I suppose not.
In fact, if anything, it made our story more credible.
How did it do that?
Well, once they'd met us both, they found it easy to believe we were together, didn't they?
I suppose so.
Well, you know how people often wonder if we're a couple. So it just felt right. But it's fine.
Are you sure?
I am. Come on, hug.
Thanks. Sorry, I'm just being a girl.
No, don't you worry about it. Now, let me get you that absinthe. One lump or two?
Well, that'd better be your last lot, Jamie. Nearly 4 o'clock, end of your shift.
Okay.
Bet you can't wait to get away, can you?
It's all right.
What's it like being back home?
It's okay.
You getting on all right with your mum?
I haven't seen her much. She was working last night.
Oh, right. But it's okay, then?
Just, normal.
Oh, that's good. Are you going back there now?
Yeah, I've got a revision to do.
Oh, yeah, of course. With your exams any minute.
A couple of weeks.
But you're getting down to a bit of work. That's good.
Oh, Fallon. Frida said you... Oh, hello, Jamie.
Huh. What can I do for you, Kenan?
Oh, yeah, there's been a breakage in the beer garden.
Oh.
Yeah, a kid running around knocked into someone with a tray.
Oh, my God.
No, it's fine. No one hurt. But if you point me at the dustpan and brush, I'll clear it up.
No, that's all right. I'll come and do it.
Well, if you're sure, I don't mind.
No, you get back to your pint.
Oh, OK, all right, then. Thanks. I'll see you, Jamie.
Go on.
Right, yeah.
Well, you'll probably be gone before I sort this out, so see you tomorrow, yeah, Jamie? You are working, aren't you?
Yeah.
Right. Bye, then.
Bye, Fallon. All right, Jamie?
Oh, Steve.
Thought I'd find you in here.
It's a job.
And they do pay you, don't they?
Yes.
Which means you can pay me back that 30 I lent you. You have got it.
I've got it.
Cool. Shame it didn't get you into Polly's panties.
Well, you know how that was, don't you?
No. Why was that?
Nothing. There you are.
Nice one. So, how long have they got you chained in here then?
I just finished.
Oh, sweet. Well, I've got Marty in the car. Bunch of us are going over to Natalie's. Fancy it?
Well,
Oh, come on, it'll be a laugh.
All right, then.
Good lad.
Get off the road, you moron!
Your dad's a farmer.
So? Still don't like tractors holding me up, do I?
So what are we going to do in Natalie's?
It's a big revision session, Marty. I thought I'd test you both on your science.
Yeah, nice one.
You really had me going there, Steve.
God, could you think of anything worse?
Revision and me just don't mix.
You won't catch me doing any.
How have you got your A2s coming up, though, Steve?
No reason to spend the weekend with my head in a book. We got better things to do, haven't we, lads?
Yeah, safe.
You can always retape them.
Sure.
So, back home with Mummy then, Jamie boy. Does she tuck you in at night? Read you a story?
No, it's like totally sound.
Oh, yeah, right.
Really? It's like you were saying, Marty.
Was I?
She was so desperate for me to come back. I can do anything I like.
Yeah?
Sure. I've got her right where I want her.
Is this one dead?
Yes, I go now.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, nice talking to you.
And you, bye.
You're stealing our customers.
Oh, just a bit of cross-promotion.
If Mum finds out, you might not be staying tonight after all.
Well, she doesn't mind. If they're coming into town, she'd rather they went to Jack's than somewhere else.
Oh, I suppose so.
Hmm. Is Jamie gone?
About half an hour ago. He's in tomorrow again, for the bank holiday.
Right. Do you think he'll ever speak to me again, Fallon?
Oh, of course he will. Just take time, that's all.
Yeah, maybe. I don't suppose me laying down the law last week helped.
Well, I don't know. What with you playing bad cop and Reese playing good cop, at least Jamie's back at home now.
Yeah. Trouble is, I prefer playing good cop.
You're a softie, Kenton.
Yeah, you got me.
What do you think of Reese?
Reese? Yeah. Well, seems like a good bloke.
Has he ever mentioned a girlfriend to you?
No. No, he once said he loved Penny Greig, but that turned out to be a place, not a woman.
Oh.
I think he was just winding me up.
Yeah, he likes a laugh. I reckon he and Kirsty get on really well.
Well, do you think so?
They're made for each other. They just need a bit of a helping hand. Is she working next Sunday?
Oh, God, I don't know. I don't get the rotors in my head.
Well, can you let me know?
Yeah, okay, yeah. Tell you what, I'll give you a ring tomorrow.
Cool.
Tea will be about 20 minutes, Jamie.
Oh, what is it?
Shepherd's pie.
Oh, great. I like shepherd's pie.
I know. How was work? Was it busy with the bank holiday?
Not too bad.
Good. Do you think you could lay the table?
Okay, Mum.
Thanks. Have you got any plans for the evening?
No.
You're not going out with Marty and Steve like yesterday?
No.
Oh, it's just I heard you on the phone.
Oh, I was calling Dan.
Oh.
But he had schoolwork to do.
Revision?
I guess so.
So if you're not going out this evening, do you reckon you might do a bit of work yourself?
Might do. Yeah.
Where are you going?
I'll do some now. Give me a shout when tea's ready.
How's your day been? Back in the swing of it?
I'm back on track with my project, thank goodness. But I had a terrible shock this afternoon.
Really?
Yeah, I was crossing over University Road, you know, at the bottom end, by the car park.
Sure.
And there was a policeman talking to one of the councillors.
Right.
And my stomach did this huge leap. I just stopped there. I didn't know what to do.
Well, what did you do?
Well, eventually I turned around and walked in the other direction.
That's crazy, Alice.
I know. This is not me. It's also not me. I used to think the police were, you know, the good guys. If I was ever in trouble...
PC Plod would be at your side.
Exactly.
Truncheon at the ready.
Yeah, and now I'm running away from them.
Look, you know that policeman had nothing to do with you, don't you?
No, of course.
You've got to stop worrying about it. It's over.
How can you tell?
It's hardly a federal case, is it? Minor scuffle outside a nightclub.
Oh, I suppose not.
A couple of bruises. But he was suffering from hurt pride more than anything.
Yeah.
You need to concentrate on your finals now, don't you?
Yeah, I do.
So, put it out of your mind. No one saw it. It's our word against Sean's. And let's face it, it's obvious who the old Bill are going to believe.
Is it?
You know what he's like.
Well, no, I can't remember. That's the trouble.
Well, you saw in the video, that shirt, I mean, I ask you, with a couple of nice upstanding students on one side and the king of the chavs on the other, no contest.
Oh, I do hope so.
The case closed.
Oh, no. Jamie, I thought you were going to do some revision.
I am.
Oh?
It's a French quiz.
Oh, it sounded like a game.
Well, it is, sort of.
Can I see?
3 out of 6 so far.
Oh, yes. Well, that's very good.
No, it isn't. It's rubbish.
No, I mean that you're doing some work.
I said I would.
Yes, I know.
Is tea ready?
Yes.
Oh, great, I'm starving.
But ask me in French, go on.
Don't push it, Mum.
Barbecue?
Yeah, why not?
Well, it's a bit risky this time of year, isn't it? Might be cold.
Anything else?
Yeah, might be wet as well.
No, I mean any more drinks.
No. Do you want one yourself?
Yeah, okay, thanks. I'll have a Coke. It's a risk at any time of the year, though, isn't it? In this country, you never know what the weather's going to be like.
That's true.
I mean, it could be lovely. Anyway, if it does rain, you've got that lean-to thing, haven't you? You can always cook under there.
Yeah, but where would people eat?
Well, inside, if they had to. Come on, it'll be great. Reese was only saying last week how much he enjoys barbecue.
Reese? He works here?
Yeah.
What's it got to do with him?
Well, nothing, just, you know, people like barbecues.
Yeah.
First of the season. It'll be fun.
When, though?
Well, I thought this coming Sunday.
Oh, no, I might be working.
No, you're not.
What? How do you know?
Well, Kenton happened to mention it.
Why on earth did he do that?
I don't know, can't remember.
He never knows the roses.
Well, it must have stuck in his mind for some reason.
Well, that means he's probably on then. He'll be miffed that he won't be able to come.
He'll get over it.
He doesn't like missing out, though, Kenton.
So, are you going to do it?
Yeah, come on.
Oh, great!
Well, as you're so keen, who should we invite then?
Well, your housemates.
Obviously. And Mandy and Felix, Sanya.
Yeah. Well, and you said you were getting on with Pip and her new bloke.
Oh, Pip and Spencer, yeah.
And would it be all right if I brought a few people?
Yeah, of course, as long as they bring a bottle and a burger or something.
Yeah.
You're thinking of the band, I suppose.
Yeah, and maybe one or two others.
Quiet tonight, isn't it?
No, it's early yet.
Can I get you a drink?
Not when I'm working. You can put one behind the bar for me, no? Lager top.
Right, I will.
Cheers.
You're welcome. Seen any trouble today?
Hardly.
No. I heard someone was beaten up outside here a few weeks back, in the alley.
Yeah, that's right.
Do you know anything about it?
Not much. I was working the door that night, but I didn't see nothing.
No.
Heard the geezer took a hell of a hammering, though.
Really?
Broken ribs and that.
Nasty.
But he's on the mend now, people say.
Oh, well, that's good.
Yeah.
Such a pity, isn't it?
What is?
When a pleasant evening out is spoiled by violence.
Right!
Remember the test on Thursday?
Oh, Jamie, man, that was grim.
Quietly,
it was all right. I didn't understand it the first time. No chance of me getting it again.
You have to hope it doesn't come up in the exams.
Yeah. Coming downtown? Steve said he'd be there.
We'll miss the bus, Marty.
He could give us a lift back.
Well, maybe for an hour. I want to do some...
What? Homework?
No, I've just got, you know, stuff to do.
Now, Reggie, I hope you appreciate how flexible I've been over this loan.
Yeah.
We said 150, didn't we?
I was going to ask you.
Oh, dear. You're not going to insult me, are you?
What? No.
Please don't tell me you haven't got it.
No, I got it, Chaz. I was just wondering.
Yes?
Could you see your way clear to just taking a ton?
100?
It'd leave me a bit short to buy food and that otherwise.
And you need to catch the last train home.
I am home.
And all you need is a pound to make up your train fare.
Sorry?
No, I've heard them all before, Reggie. All the sob stories, all the tales of woe, all the excuses.
It's not an excuse.
We had an agreement. You fell behind, you need to catch up. I want to leave here with £150, not the latest extract from your sorry little life story.
I just thought I'd ask.
The cash, please.
You don't know what it's like.
And you know what? I'd like it to stay that way. 140, 150. Excellent. Right. I'll see you next week. 200 then, and you'll be back on track.
So.
Yeah.
A bit dead, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, what happened with Beth?
Beth?
That was her name, wasn't it? That girl at Crazy Charlie's. Do you remember, Jamie, the one with the top?
Oh, God, yeah, that was awesome. Oh, Beth, yeah, of course. I tapped that.
What? Later?
Later, yeah.
Because you went home with us that night, didn't you?
Yeah, well, we hooked up the next day. Oh, or at the weekend. I can't remember. I gave her some of the Stevie love, you know what I'm saying, Marty?
Yeah.
Man, she was wild.
So, are you still seeing?
Nah. I had to ditch her. She was in bits, but what could I do?
Yeah.
Anyway, Jamie, what about your sex life?
What about it?
You've got to get out there, eh, Marty?
Yeah.
Well, here comes Natalie, look. She would.
Natalie?
Yeah, gagging for it.
Oh, you should ask her out, Jamie.
What? No.
Scared you won't pull?
No, I just don't want to.
Look, ask her out or... I'll tell her you really like her.
No!
But you're scared you won't measure up.
Steve.
Your choice.
No.
Okay, then. Hey, Natalie!
All right. Just stay here.
Work your magic, bro.
Hi, Natalie. Do you want a fag?
Your saviour stands before you.
Sorry, no one here ordered a saviour. You must have the wrong house.
Au contraire.
This is a special delivery of saviour-ness for Mrs. Alice Carter.
Yeah, who's trying to get some supporting material together for her viva.
Well, that's exactly what I'm saving you from. Terminal boredom.
Oh, it's not boring.
Come to dinner with me.
What?
Tonight. I have cash in my pocket and I must spend it or die in the attempt.
Oh, has your mysterious fairy godmother come up trumps again?
You could say that. Or you could say, very well, Chaz, just give me a moment to fling on a glamorous frock and some discreet but dazzling jewellery.
Well, how about very well, Chaz, just give me half an hour to finish this poster?
Half an hour?
Ish.
The glamorous frock isn't optional.
Oh, well, make it an hour then if you want me to look beautiful.
Oh, you always look beautiful.
Flatterer.
Thanks. We'll bring your food over as soon as it's ready.
She was nice.
Married, though.
Oh, yeah. I wasn't thinking of asking her out.
No.
Bit old for me, anyway.
But if the right person came along, might you be interested? Or is there someone already?
Oh, no. Young, free and single, me.
No girlfriend waiting for you back in Wales?
Nah. Well, one or two exes. But if they're waiting, then they'll be waiting a long time.
Right.
Mind you... We are used to waiting for things in Wales, you know. Grand Slams, devolution, sunshine.
Yeah, I thought that was the case. I mean, about girlfriends.
Oh.
Just changing the subject. Kirsty's having a barbecue at her house on Sunday.
Oh.
Would you like to go?
Oh, I would, but I'm working here Sunday, aren't I?
Ah, no. I meant to tell you. No, I've changed the rotor. I thought it might be nice if we both went along.
Oh, you changed it so we could go together?
Maybe I could give you a lift.
No, that's really nice of you, Farron, but if I've got the day off, I should really go and visit my mum.
I thought your mum lived in Spain.
Mum's sister. Auntie Jean?
Right.
I've been meaning to for ages. I've got to keep in with her if I'm ever going to inherit her collection of China dogs.
Perhaps madam would prefer a less complex wine. Snooty beggar.
No, I just wanted one that didn't taste. Oh!
Evening.
Chris!
Oh, this is unexpected.
What are you doing here?
Paulie let me in.
No, I mean, why are you here? Something wrong?
Not exactly. I wanted to talk to you about something. A work thing.
Oh.
I did bring to say I was coming.
Yeah, I left my phone here.
Really?
Yeah, by accident. It was a bit of a rush getting ready.
Special occasion?
What?
I thought you were working tonight.
Well, yeah, I was.
Looking like that.
Alice has allowed some time off, you know, Chris.
Yeah, I did some of it. Most of it. And then Chaz invited me out to dinner.
Very nice.
That's what friends do, isn't it? Well, isn't this lovely, Alice? Surprise visit from your husband.
Yeah.
Sit down. It is your home after all.
Oh, yeah, right.
So, Chris, do tell. What's new in the world of horseshoeing?
I'm so tired.
Chaz didn't help, did he? Couldn't he give it a rest?
Oh, he was just trying to be hospitable, Chris.
I wanted to talk to you.
I'm all ears.
Okay, well, Ronnie's been hinting about this for some time, but he actually came out with it today.
Hmm.
He took me to the Fox in Edgeley for lunch, which was unusual, so I thought something might be up, and he told me he's actually pretty much decided that he wants... Alice?
Hmm?
Are you listening?
Yeah, of course I am. Go on.
Oh, forget it. You're in no fit state anyway.
Ugh, double science this morning. Have we still got that supply teacher?
Oh, God, I hope not.
Heard Stanford's off with stress.
Stress?
What's so stressful about being a teacher? We're the ones who've got the stress, Jamie.
For sure.
Infectious diseases at 10 o'clock in the morning. I mean, please.
Oh, hold on, Mike.
Who gives a toss?
Oh.
What's up?
Oh, Natalie.
Oh, Natalie.
She'll see me on Monday after school.
Oh, result?
I wondered where you'd got to. Have you showered and everything?
You were completely out of it.
Oh.
How are you feeling?
Not great. I need coffee.
I'm not surprised the state you were in last night.
Oh, be fair, Chris. I didn't know you were coming.
If you had, where I found you working then?
It was just one of those spur-of-the-moment things. It was really nice of Chaz.
Hmm.
I am working hard. You know I work through the holidays of my project.
Not every day.
Well, that's why you thought I could do the break. Anyway, what's this news?
Do you really want to know?
Of course. It must be important for you to come all this way.
I did try to tell you last night.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I was just tired.
And the rest, Alice.
Oh, look, please don't be like this, Chris. What is it?
Bonnie wants to retire.
Okay.
Sometime next year, he's thinking.
So, what does that mean for you? Will you need to get another job?
Maybe, maybe not. He's asked me if I'd be interested in taking on the business. All the clients, everything.
Well, that's great, isn't it?
It's going to cost, though. Especially a new van.
Well, can't you just buy his?
It's on its last legs. I've been thinking for ages he should have replaced it. And now I know why he hasn't. He's going to nurse it through until he retires.
So, you'd need a new van?
And that's going to be 13, 14 grand for a decent one. Plus, getting it converted, that's probably another two.
So, I know I'm not on top form, but why drive down to tell me this? Couldn't it wait?
No. Ronnie's having a drink with Daryl today.
Daryl?
The apprentice he had before me. And I know it's not the first time he's seen him recently. I reckon he's saying the same thing to Daryl.
Do you?
And Ronnie kept banging on yesterday about how useful it would be to have two vans right now, in case his broke down, so we could cover more ground, that sort of thing.
So, you think he wants you to buy a van?
It's like he wants to see how committed I am. If I don't buy a van now, will he think Daryl's a better bet?
It is a lot of money, though, Chris.
I know. And I know it would take out all our savings, but I'm only going to get this chance once.
You're thinking of using our house money?
It's the only money we've got.
Right, I see.
But once I've taken over the business, we'll be in a much better position to buy somewhere.
Yeah, but won't you need money to buy the, you know, goodwill and everything of the business?
Yeah, it'll be expensive in the short term, but, well, at least we've got the cottage.
Yeah, I was really looking forward to moving on from there.
And me, but things have changed.
And you could be wrong about Daryl.
I don't think so. Ronnie was dropping pretty clear hints yesterday.
Oh, I don't know. This is all too sudden. I can't think. Look, I'm going to have a shower and get dressed and then I've got a tutorial. But when I get back...
What sort of time?
11-ish.
I can't wait till then. I've got to get off.
What?
I've got calls this afternoon.
Oh, Chris.
Don't Chris me. That's why I came down last night. So we could talk about it properly.
Doing all right in here, Rhys?
Can't complain.
Just wondering if you had any more thoughts about Sunday. Have you arranged to see your auntie yet?
No, not yet.
Oh, it'd be really nice if you could come to the barbecue. I mean, they don't have them very often. Couldn't you do your family visit in some other time?
Yeah, I could. Look, Fallon, don't take offence, but, you're my boss.
Sorry?
I mean... I think you're great, obviously, but business and pleasure, you know, I've had bad experiences mixing them. I mean, for a while, it's you know, it's really exciting. Snatched kisses in the cellar, heavy breathing by the optics.
No,
but then when things go wrong, they're slicing a lemon and you're wondering where that knife's going to end up next.
Rhys!
not that I'm saying you're violent. I mean... What are the chances of there being two psycho females running pubs in Borsetshire?
You don't understand.
That really would be bad luck.
It's fine.
What?
I wasn't asking you on a date.
Oh, you weren't?
Why, no, I'd never see you as boyfriend material.
Oh, well, now I don't know whether to be relieved or offended.
Oh, no, I mean, I really like you too, but just not that way.
Right.
Shall we start again?
Good idea.
Rhys, would you like to come with me as mates to Kirsty's barbecue on Sunday?
I would like nothing better.
So you won't be visiting your Auntie Jean then?
Some other time. Those China dogs are hideous anyway.
Late lunch?
Oh, it's the first thing I've felt like eating, Chaz.
Harvey's still around, is he?
No, he had to get back home.
Oh, flying visit then. What's up, Alice? You guys having trouble?
No. Well, it was a bit eggy this morning, but...
Was it?
But that's not why he came down.
Oh. What then?
He's got a chance to buy his boss's business, but he needs quite a lot of money.
Does he?
Yeah, and the first thing I thought is maybe Dad could help him out, but I know Chris would never accept that.
So, how much money are we talking about?
Maybe 16,000.
I see. Tell me more.
Next week, Fallon turns up the heat at the barbecue and Chaz has a proposition for Alice. Ambridge Extra was written by Kerry Davies. It was directed in our Birmingham studios by Fiona Kelcher and the editor is Vanessa Whitburn. And remember, you can catch the daily happenings in Ambridge each Sunday to Friday evening at 7 o'clock over on BBC Radio 4.
I have two things pressed against your back. One of them is a dagger.
Meet the Mastersons, a family whose future is very unpredictable, as it's provided by the studio audience.
We have our ingredients for this evening's episode. Pregnancy, a tumble dryer, Big Ben and blancmange.
And placed in the hands of improv legends.
There's one thing my daughter loves.
I know.
Apart from that, but you're on the right track, it is pink and wobbly.
Oh, it's not blancmange then.
It is.
BBC Radio 4 Extra presents The Masterson Inheritance, part of the Comedy Club. Sunday nights at 10:30.
Michelle Magorian is probably best known for her wartime stories Goodnight, Mr. Tom and Back Home. Four Extras' Susan Ray caught up with her recently to talk about her work.
Michelle, it's clear from your oeuvre, from the some of the books that you've written, that you're very interested in the mid-20th century, that whole period, but you are too young to be an evacuee. So I'm just wondering what the trigger was for Back Home.
Well, I was carrying out research for Goodnight, Mr. Tom, and I came across this photograph of these children coming back in 1945. They were on a big liner and they were all waving. They'd been away for 5 years. And they looked totally Americanized. And because I'd had problems adjusting to England after only living for 2.5 years in Australia, and that was with my parents, I thought, how on earth did these children cope coming back to post-war Britain?
Why were you in Australia?
Because my father was in the Navy and we were posted out there. The photograph refused to go away. And it was as if the children in the photograph were saying, we're not going to leave you alone until you write about one of us. So I said, OK, I surrender. I will write about one of you. And that started my long search for adults who had been sent away as children as far away as Canada, Australia, South Africa and America. And the stories that they told led to me writing Back Home.
The author Michelle Magorian talking to Susan Ray, and Back Home is here on Radio 4 Extra this afternoon at 4.
The digital station on radio, TV and online. BBC Radio 4 Extra.
Now on 4 Extra, we've another short story from William Trevor. At a bleak wedding reception, a young pregnant bride discovers why her marriage might just work. Teresa's Wedding is read by Dennis Hawthorne.
The remains of the wedding cake was on the top of the piano in Swanton's Lounge Bar, beneath a framed advertisement for Powers Whiskey. Chas Flynn, the best man, had opened 2 packets of confetti. It lay thickly on the remains of the wedding cake, on the surface of the bar and the piano, on the table and the 2 small chairs that the Lounge Bar contained, and on the tattered green and red linoleum. The wedding guests, themselves covered in confetti, stood in groups. Father Hogan, who had conducted the service in the Church of the Immaculate Conception, stood with Mrs. Attie, the mother of the bride, and Mrs. Cornish, the mother of the bridegroom, and Mrs. Tracy, a sister of Mrs. Attie's. Artie Cornish, the bridegroom, drank stout with his friends Eddie Boland and Chas Flynn, who worked in the town's bacon factory, and Screw Doyle, so called because he served behind the counter in Phelan's hardware shop. Artie, who worked in a shop himself, Driscoll's Provisions and Bar, was a freckled man of 28, 6 years older than his bride. He was heavily built, his bulk encased now in a suit of navy blue serge, similar to the suits that all the other men were wearing that morning in Swanton's Lounge Bar. In the opinion of Mr. Driscoll, his employer, he was a conscientious shopman with a good memory for where commodities were kept on the shelves. Customers occasionally found him slow. The fathers of the bride and bridegroom, Mr. Attie and Mr. Cornish, were talking about greyhounds, keeping close to the bar. They shared a feeling of unease, caused by being in the Lounge Bar of Swanton's with women present on a Saturday morning.
Bring us 2 more big ones, Mr. Cornish requested of Kevin, a youth behind the bar, hoping that this addition to his consumption of whiskey would relax matters. They wore white carnations in the buttonholes of their suits and stiff white collars which were reddening their necks. Unknown to one another, they shared the same thought, a wish that the bride and groom would soon decide to bring the occasion to an end by going to prepare themselves for their journey to Cork on the half-one bus. The bride, who had been Teresa Attie and was now Teresa Cornish, had a round, pretty face and black, pretty hair, and was 1.5 months pregnant. She stood in the corner of the lounge with her friends Philomena Morrissey and Katie Roach, both of whom had been bridesmaids. All three of them were attired in their wedding finery, dresses they had feverishly worked on to get finished in time for the wedding. They planned to alter the dresses and have them dyed so that later on they could go to parties in them, even though parties were rare in the town. Teresa and Philomena drank glasses of baby sham, and Kitty drank Kaya Ora Orange. They'd known each other all their lives.
"We'll think about you, Teresa," Philomena said. "We'll pray for you."
Philomena, plump and pale-haired, had every hope of marrying too, and had even planned her dress, in light lemony lace with a Limerick veil. Twice in the last month she'd gone out with Des Foley, the vet, And even if he was a few years older than he might be, and had a car that smelt of cattle disinfectant, there was more to be said for Des Foley than for many another. Teresa's two sisters, much older than Teresa, stood by the piano and the framed Powers advertisement between the two windows of the lounge bar. Agnes, in smart powder blue, was tall and thin, the older of the two. Loretta, in brown, was small. Their own two marriages, 11 and 9 years ago, had been consecrated by Father Hogan in the Church of the Immaculate Conception and celebrated afterwards in this same lounge bar. Loretta had married a man who was no longer mentioned because he'd gone to England and had never come back. Agnes had married George Tobin, who was at present sitting outside the lounge bar in a Ford Prefect in charge of his and Agnes's three small children. The Tobins lived in Cork now, George being the manager of a shoe shop there. Loretta lived with her parents, like an unmarried daughter again. "Sickens you," Agnes said. "She's only a kid marrying a goop like that. She'll be stuck in this dump of a town forever." Loretta didn't say anything. It was well known that Agnes's own marriage